Now is it on? Yeah, there we go. I forgot to turn it on. At least I haven't. Half the time I'm racing to get it on. You know, I just wanted to expand a little bit on what Clyde was saying, because we are right now going through our vision statement of loving God and people, and part of loving people is loving them when they don't know Christ. Amen? God never put on a stipulation that says love only those in the body of Christ or love only Christians. It says love your neighbor as himself, and who did he use as an example? Their enemy. So anyhow, I was thinking about that because it was a neat experience for me at that conference too, because Bill, the one that Clyde was talking about at about 9 o'clock, he talked to, I was talking to Debbie on my phone, and I was outside, but I could see what was going on inside, and as soon as they got done praying together, then I went in. And so Clyde says to me, Steve, I'd like to introduce you to Bill. Bill, why don't you tell Steve what you just did? Now, typically we might say, hey, he just trusted Christ. And so Bill goes, I trusted Jesus. I mean, he was animated, wasn't he? He says, I just trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I know I'm going to go to heaven for sure. And he said, I can't wait to tell my girlfriend. And he said, but Steve, she's not going to believe me. And so he said, Clyde gave me his Bible, and I'm going to go through and show her the steps that I went through so she knows I'm a Christian. And I thought, man, how neat that is to see that. And another pastor came by, and his name was Bill, and I said, Bill, I want to introduce you to Bill. Bill, why don't you tell him what you did? And so he went through it again with Bill. And so this pastor hugged him, and he said, you know what that makes us? And he said, no, and he says, it makes us brothers in Christ. And he said, so can I borrow $10? So this guy, without blinking, goes, here's $5 and here's $5. But it was a great time. That's loving people, isn't it? I really was kind of hit with the fact that when he said, well, it looks like we're all taking the stairway to heaven, I just knew right away Clyde was going to say something, and I thought, that's loving people, because that guy wanted so badly to accept Christ and didn't know how to do it, just didn't know. And so he was thrilled to death when Clyde shared it to him. And you know, Jesus said, the fields are white for harvest, they're overflowing, but there's no laborers. The laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest for laborers. And I think we need to keep that in mind, to keep praying for laborers, because it isn't that people don't want to know, it's that we're just kind of scared, right? We're just kind of scared. So turn with me to Philemon 5. Philemon chapter 1, verse 5. Only one chapter. We've been looking at Philemon, a great man of God, and one who has demonstrated to us, and Paul, and God, that we need to love others. You know, I hear things quite often. She's impossible to love. She's just impossible to love. Have you ever heard that before? Or it's usually more he, probably. He doesn't deserve anybody's love the way he acts towards people. How can I show love to them when I can't even trust them? You know, we have a lot of reasons for not loving people that we've built in and we've Christianized so that we feel okay about loving some. And here we look at Philemon, and in the Word of God, a letter from Paul to Philemon says, Philemon, hearing of your love and faith or your trust which you have towards the Lord Jesus Christ and towards some of the saints. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Hearing of your love and faith, which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. I'm a little dyslexic, so sometimes I get it kind of messed up. It isn't some, it's all. That just doesn't seem to work for us very well. It's easier to love some. But Philemon loved God and all the saints, Paul says. Now, I'm assuming, because it's the inspired word of God and Paul said it, it must be 100% true. And so we have one guy that we can look at in the scriptures who loved all the saints. He didn't make excuses in his life. He loved all the saints. And he followed what Jesus said to a lawyer who questioned him, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second like it is this. You shall love your neighbor, and I want you to get these next two words, and I want you to read them with me, as yourself. Oh, that's interesting. It just doesn't say to love our neighbor, but love our neighbor as ourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now, we have talked about loving God, and today I want to talk about loving people. I want to talk about the second commandment. Oh, hang on. I'm sorry. You could talk with each other. I have got to get this done. I've got a call I need to make. That's if I can get this open. Oop, wrong way. Now, hang on. Oops. Sorry about that, John. Okay, hang on.
Hello, how can I help you?
Well, after much consideration, I've decided to install love. Man, I'm glad I caught you. I almost forgot. Can you guide me through the process?
Yes, I can help you. Are you ready to proceed?
Yes. I'm not very technical, though, but I think I'm ready. What do I do first?
The first step is to open your heart. Have you located your heart?
Yes, but there's several other programs running right now. Is it okay to install love while it's running?
What programs are running?
Well, let's see. I have past hurt, low self-esteem, grudge, and resentment running right now.
No problem. Love will gradually erase past hurt from your current operating system. It may remain in your permanent memory, but it will no longer disrupt other programs. Love will eventually override low self-esteem with a module of its own called high self-esteem. However, you have to completely turn off grudge and resentment. Those programs prevent love from being properly installed. Can you turn those off?
I don't know how to turn them off. Can you tell me how?
With pleasure. Go to your start menu and invoke forgiveness. Do this as many times as necessary until grudge and resentment have been completely erased.
Okay, done. Love has started installing itself. Is that normal?
Yes, but remember that you have only the base program. You need to begin connecting with other hearts in order to get the upgrades.
Oops. I have an error message here. It says, programs not running on external components. What should I do?
Don't worry. It means that the love program is set up to run on internal hearts, but has not yet been run on your heart. In non-technical terms, it simply means you have to love yourself before you can love others.
So what do I do?
Pull down self-acceptance, then click on the following files. Forgive self, realize your worth, and acknowledge your limitations.
Okay, done.
Now copy them to the My Heart directory. Okay. The system will overwrite any conflicting files and begin patching faulty programming. Also, you need to delete long-winded self-criticism from all the directories and empty your recycle bin to make sure it is completely gone and never comes back.
Okay, got it. Hey, my heart is filling up with new files. Smiling is playing on my monitor, and peace and contentment are copying themselves all over my heart. Is that normal?
Sometimes. For others, it takes a while. But eventually, everything gets it at the proper time. So love is installing and running. One more thing before we hang up. Love is freeware. Be sure to give it and its various modules to everyone you meet. They will in turn share it with others and return some cool modules back to you.
Okay, thank you, God. Here's the point. We need to install love in our lives. Isn't that true? And none of us would disagree that we need to love others more or that we need to love ourselves. I think that's just a basic human need. But the decision to install love when we are good and ready, as this illustrated, may be a good thing in our understanding, but loving others is not optional. Did you ever think about that? Loving others is not optional in God's kingdom. Rather, the two greatest commandments in Scripture, the what and who we are to be and do, explains to us what we need to do and be if we know Jesus Christ as Savior. It's just not an option to us. When we talk about loving others, we are talking about God's primary directive to you and me, and we even entitled it in this church in our vision statement, Loving God and Others. Romans 12:10 says this, Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, unless they've dogged you, unless, it doesn't say that, does it? Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another. Man, if we would just do that, I can't tell you, I'd be out of a job as a counselor. I could only be a pastor. Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word or one saying, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And like I said before, do you remember when they asked him, who is our neighbor? And he pointed out the Samaritan, their enemy. So let's look at ourselves. Like this little skit we put on, God assumes we love ourselves, but the Bible never commands us to love ourselves because it's assumed that we do. The Scripture tells us, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes, loves it. So let's explore that for a minute. Because we are so in constant love of self, we fail at times, but we are very self-forgiving. True? I remember years ago, my brother-in-law worked with me at a company, and we had a sales show going on in I think it was back east somewhere. And so my brother-in-law put together this whole marketing package and sent it to the salesman, but he forgot a piece that the salesman wanted. And the salesman was pretty known for telling you what he thinks if you don't get the every jot and tittle. And so my brother finally tries to encourage him and tells him, you know, listen, it's not the end of the world. I know I made a mistake, but we can cover. You just need to do this thing, and you'll be all right. And the salesman immediately responded to him on the phone, and we never forgot this. He said, my, you're so forgiving of yourself. And we listened to that, and I mean for years, Bobby and I laughed about that, because it's true. We are very self-forgiving. We are very forgiving ourselves when we screw up. We minimize it. When we fail at something, we minimize it. When we say the wrong things to people, we minimize it. We minimize and we minimize. Now, by minimize, I mean we make it small. We reduce it to nothing. We make light and discount our actions. We diminish the impact or lessen the impact. So what we say and do wrong has little to no impact on us. In other words, our actions barely count if they're negative actions. Now, for years, Debbie and I in counseling have found with people that inevitably, if they need counseling in their relationship, and I want you to think about this for a minute, if they need counseling in their relationship, we automatically realize and know that they're going to minimize their actions and maximize their partner's, right? They hardly do anything, but they do everything. And so they'll say things, for instance, like, well, maybe I did yell, but your behavior is not exactly Christian. Well, yeah, I did scream at her, but she pushes my buttons. I came home and he was mad. Well, did you say something to him? Well, I called him a name. But he's always the angry one. That's minimizing our behavior. Excuse me, that's not owning what we do. So I want to think about this for a minute. Ephesians 4:2 says this, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Listen to that, bearing with one another in love. Do you know what bearing means? Excuse me. Maybe I ought to have some water since it's up here. It means enduring. It means bearing with. It means putting up with other people. It doesn't mean loving and gushing. It means putting up with them. It means hear or listen to willingly. That's why Moses and Jesus and James and Paul all quoted God in their writings. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, isn't that something? You shall love your neighbor. We kind of drop that end piece off, don't we? You shall love your neighbors as yourself. Now think about it a minute. What if we didn't minimize? What if we treated our mate or our friends exactly the way we would treat ourselves? Well, let's go back over those same things. Well, she yelled at me, "Honey, it's not that big of a deal. I know she doesn't mean it. I love her and I was wrong." Well, yeah, I did scream at her, but I share in the problem. I acted foolishly. I came home and he was mad. Did you say something to him? Well, I called him a name and he had a good reason for being mad at me. And I'm sorry for doing that, dear. I instigated it and I was wrong. What if we responded that way? Counseling dismissed. No. That's the truth. If we can get a couple to get to that place when they're having issues, we don't need to counsel them anymore. If they love their neighbor as themselves. But if we fail to love each other like we love ourselves, it's because we choose to do that. What if we put up with each other? In spite of our failings, in spite of their failings, in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of their weaknesses, in spite of our personality, in spite of their personality. Loving God and people, that's our goal. That's the challenge that God set before us. Now, a couple weeks ago, I asked you, have you ever met anyone that didn't have both good and bad side to them? Have you ever met anyone that was just all good? They had no rough edges. They were perfect. Everything they said came perfect out of their mouth and they totally loved you. Have you met that person? I'm still looking. No, there is no such person. Every one of us have baggage. Every one of us have bad side. I mean, you look at me, and because I'm the pastor, and I know this just from general churches, you think I'm supposed to do everything, and you think I'm supposed to be the best at everything, and I've got all of God's gifts that he can give all reside in me, and therefore I do everything perfect, right? No, you actually look and go, man, is that guy, man, he misses the point, and man, there's some things he doesn't do very well, and he certainly never calls me like Clyde does, you know, and all these kind of things, okay? Isn't that true? And I could go on and make you laugh, but the point here is I am weak. I am not perfect. You are weak, and you are not perfect. And when I look at you, I see two sides. I don't know of anybody that I don't see two sides to, and there's a piece of you that's not so lovable, and there's a piece of you that's very lovable. And I choose the lovable. What do you choose? Christ tells us to choose the lovable and to love one another. So if people may get on your nerves, they might even turn us off. They might have said things to us that have totally devastated us, but God says to love them as you love yourself. And so the question really is, do we love God, and are we willing to do what he tells us to do? Especially with that relative that drives us crazy. Or the friend that hounds us. Or the sister that rejects us. Or the brother that cheats us. Or the mother-in-law that frustrates us. Or the dad that is never satisfied with anything we do. Love the person that makes you angry. Love the person that doesn't treat you right. Love them because God said to do it. Amen? And we at Harvest Fellowship want to be lovers of God and lovers of people. I don't care what the other churches do. I don't care what the other civic organizations do. I don't care what the Elks do. I don't care what the city of Brighton does. I care about you, and I want you to care about me enough that we become lovers of God and people. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray.